Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
It's never too early for Lowe's Black Friday deals. Snag some of our biggest savings of the season right now, like 25% off select pre-lit artificial Christmas trees. And get yourself free select DeWalt, Kobalt, or Craftsman tools when you buy a select battery or combo kit before the Black Friday rush. Because everyone loves free stuff, right? Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 12/3, while supplies last. Selection varies by location.
Sundays away from NFL football, but you know what's even better than that? It's even a lesser amount of time before the real football. I like both. College football gets going. And for me, as a big Peyton Manning fan, the true start of football season is a Manning Passing Academy. It was a joyous weekend. Obviously, a few years ago, I remember seeing Jayden Daniels throw at the Manning Passing Academy, and he was kind of the story. I mean, he was throwing dimes left and right. He looked like a different person, and that was really the first kind of sort of public time that we saw Jayden after he put all that work in the offseason, working out with C.J. Stroud and Bryce Young, and boy, did he look good. But boy, oh boy, Garrett Nussmeier made some headway doing the sponsorship with Canes. Obviously, Garrett himself being a Louisiana native, and then, of course, Arch being a Louisiana native. They roomed together at the Manning Passing Academy. And, well, Garrett reiterated what his coach said over the weekend. And I want you to listen really closely because my tweet got 52,000 views, which is crazy because I only have 4,000 followers on Twitter. I want you to listen to what Garrett had to say about this year's roster.
Coach Kelly has said this is the most talented roster he's had. You've been there the whole time. How do you feel about the roster and just the team overall?
Well, he's not lying. It's definitely the most talented roster that I've been a part of at LSU. It's the closest team I've been a part of at LSU from top to the bottom of the roster. And so it's very exciting. You know, like I said earlier, I know there's a lot of expectations for us. We accept those expectations. And I think that not only is there an expectation for us from the outside, but there's also an expectation for us from within.
Obviously, are you kidding me? You guys know I love Garrett Nussmeier. But he said, definitely, this is the best roster he has seen since he's been at LSU. And obviously, since he has been at LSU, he was there year one with Ed Orgeron, who also made headway for essentially stripping at a wedding reception. You can go to my Twitter account and you can see the video for yourself. I kind of have to play it now, so I'll go ahead and play it. Why not? For you YouTubers. And once again, if you're listening to iTunes, Spotify, all that good stuff, there you go. I cannot play the audio because it will get me demonetized. But there you go. Ed Orgeron taking his shirt off in the middle of the dance floor and just ripping that bad boy off. No Rady Baker in attendance. Normally he's outside basking in the sun. I'll save my thoughts on that as someone that works in the wedding industry myself. But look, you could see my full opinion on Patreon on if, and I went position by position, player by player, on who I think has a better roster, 2023 LSU or 2025 LSU, because I think you'd have to choose between that one. In the end, it really doesn't matter. Like I said in my viral tweet. So I got some angry DMs and all of that saying, Carter, you're a hater. This roster is definitely better than the 2023 LSU roster. And I just strongly disagree with that. I just don't think it's definitely better. Now, if you want to say it's deeper, maybe you are right about that. Maybe. And I'm not looking at this from Jaden won the Heisman perspective. I'm looking at this from a pure projection standpoint, as in projecting going into 2023 and how I felt about that roster and projecting going into 2025. So, like I said, it doesn't matter which roster is better. But Garrett saying that and BK saying that does make this, for us, really a do-or-die season to make the college football playoff. Because what we always say about 2023 LSU and Jaden Daniels is that it is a waste of an all-time great offense that we didn't even make the playoff. That we lost three games, one of which we scored 49 points and had a two-possession lead in the fourth quarter. So, if you're going to say that this roster is way better, you've got to make the playoff. You just do. Especially if you're in year four with no playoff appearances up to this point. I understand that was a 4-team playoff and now we're in a 12-team playoff. I know it's different. But it's just hard for me to get there when you lose Will Campbell and you lose Mason Taylor. And in all, over the past couple of seasons since 2023, you lost six top 50 NFL draft picks. But what I would say, and I said this when Brian Kelly said what he said a few weeks ago, is that the gap from the 2022 to 2023 roster does not come close to how much better this roster is than last year's roster. I can say with really good certainty, and you can go back and listen to all the live streams we did going into last year, so I don't want to sound like a hypocrite. I was very vocal about the lack of defensive talent on that roster going into last season, and that turned out to be true. in particular on defense. What I didn't expect, though, was the offensive line struggling as much as it did and running the football and all of that. So, if we're going to say that this defensive roster is way better than last year's roster, we need to see a major step forward on that side of the football. And if you're going to say that this roster is way better, we have got to see a step forward in the right direction to a college football playoff. All right. Because look, I think a lot of you would view what happened in 2024 very similar to what happened in 2022, where we won quite a few games. Luckily, we got a lot of good close game luck. And in particular, we were very good in the clutch. So back in 2022, the road game versus Auburn. Still have no idea how we won that game, but we won the game thanks to an amazing play by Greg Brooks at the end and an even better play by Ojulari and Jay Ward early in the game. There were some other games that Mississippi State that same season. Once again, it was only week three of the BK era, but we found a way to get it done. And then last year, of course, South Carolina and Ole Miss. We've talked about the post-game win expectancy. So what I would like to see is not only LSU winning games, but just overall playing better, more sound football. We obviously fixed the special teams issues that we've had early in the BK era. We have the best set of kick returners we might have ever had at LSU right now. We have three different guys on the roster that have returned kicks for touchdowns basically in the past two seasons. So your special team should be pretty good. Your defense should be a lot better. One thing you could say about the LSU defense is penalty-wise, they were actually pretty clean. And then obviously you feel really good about this offense, but there's a lot of questions going into this with this offense. All right, so Anderson Garrett is going to say what's his coach said, and obviously he's going to hype up this roster. But I will also tell you the more important part of that quote is that he said that this roster is closer than any roster he's ever been a part of, which is really saying something, because the one thing I would say about Jaden, and I just knew of this because, I don't have a relationship with Jaden Daniels. I don't. I met him briefly at the Super Bowl, and it was extremely brief. There's a swarm around him. But what I would tell you is players loved being around Jaden. That was a close offense. What I can tell you, though, is that defensively this group does feel pretty together, which is crazy to think because of all these new transfers. Now, we'll see how Halsey, coalesce with the other defensive players. But I've been told repeatedly that the defensive side of the football is very close, despite there being a bunch of transfers. And then offensively, that group is pretty together as well. They all worked out this past weekend at the Manning Passing Academy, and Joe Sloan took a very good photo of all the players. All right. So my big two things from that Garrett quote is, number one, the closeness. I really hope that's true. But the more important thing is, if you think this roster is as good as it is and you're that confident in the roster, because here's the thing. Brian Kelly has said in years past, and he has been honest with the media for the most part. There are a lot of coaches who are not honest with the media at all. BK is more honest than probably most of the coaches you will hear from a podium. He has said in years past, hey, pump the brakes on this team. Pump the brakes on this roster. He has said that. That has not been the case this offseason. That has not been the case. And he's even set his own standards and not lived up to them already, saying, hey, by year three, you'll see what this team is all about. So if you're going to say, hey, 2025, this team is better, this best roster I've ever put together, that we've ever put together, that our NIL put together, Let's see it. Okay? Now, Cliff says they have to say that. That's true. Now, it's true. Every athlete's going to say, I'm in the best shape of my life. The good news about that cliche is that you don't hear that in college football because every athlete is in the best shape of their life. Technically, because you're in college, right? You're always going to be in the prime of your athletic career. You're never going to be in the downturn at 24 unless you have like five ACL surgeries. Okay. Let's go to Huff Nighthawk. Nuss putting on a show at NPA. He did. And by many people that were there, the dude looked the best throwing the football, including throwing that ball through the basketball goal. You can see it on my Twitter account as well. Gerard Guillory says the 2023 roster was terrible on the defensive side of the football. Disagree. It was not a terrible roster. Last year's roster, yeah, sure. But remember, we're talking about going into the season. Projections-wise, most felt comfortable, including myself, about the 2023 roster. The position I was most concerned about was corner, and it turned out to be true. The corner room was not.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Great, but most felt comfortable that Deuce Chestnut or Denver Harris would be something. And then most felt comfortable with Greg Brooks at safety, and obviously he had the tragedy early in the year. And then, you know, Andre Sam was there, okay? And honestly, was an Andre Sam fan going into the season. Now, the linebacker room ended up being a disaster, an absolute disaster. But there wasn't a single person that didn't feel that that was a top three SEC linebacker room going into the season with Omar Spates and Harold Perkins. There was quite a few people that know ball that felt that that was going to be the best linebacker duo in the SEC, if not one of the best. Now, did they end up being bad? Yeah, they ended up being pretty bad. We're talking about projections going into the year, right? Kind of like if we're going to compare the two rosters, I am not comparing Heisman Jaden to preseason Jaden because that's what we're doing. We're evaluating rosters going into the year. And then I would say the defensive end room for 2025, I like better than the 2023 defensive end room. But the defensive tackle room going into 2023, I like better than the defensive tackle room going into 2025. That was Mekhi Wingo, Jordan Jefferson, and Mason Smith going into 2023. In 2025, it's a little bit more ambiguous, which obviously is Ahmad Bro and Dominic McKinley. Then you also have the two big transfers in Sadir Mitchell and Bernard Gooden. And then, of course, you have Jacobian Guillory, who was a part of both of them, as kind of a rotational piece for both of them. Okay. But yeah, you're right, Bullfrog. And we mentioned that at the very beginning. Jaden lit up the Manning Passing Academy. And I remember doing a lot. I don't do a lot of YouTube shorts, but just based on what I saw from that, I remember doing a whole lot of content from that Manning Passing Academy. He looked like a different person. And I'll share the story again, since we're on the topic. So every year they do a huge card show called the National. All right. So what I went to this last weekend wasn't the National, it was Fanatics Fest in New York City. But the National is like a big card collecting convention, and Fanatics Fest wasn't around then. And I got a call right when I landed in Chicago because Jaden was doing some event, and I was going to try and go to it. I didn't know about it until like it was already too late and I landed. And one of Jaden's inner circle called me and said, "Carter, I'm just letting you know this season is going to be a movie." And I was like, "Okay, cool." I get that all the time. I'm speaking to a player's parent for this year's team tomorrow. I get that all the time. Hey, this guy is going to show out. Watch out. And he was like, no, he is different. There is not a single person that has worked harder on his craft than Jaden going into 2023. He swore up and down. He was like, Carter, you're going to be talking about him like Bryce and CJ because there was videos of him, Bryce, CJ, and it happened. It happened. And I've shared plenty of times. I am always skeptical of that, right? I always take it with a grain of salt. Because if I was a player's parent or cousin or friend or whatever, I'm going to gas my guy up. But he was like, Carter, I'm telling you. And he's still a big supporter of the channel. In fact, I talked to him this week, even though obviously Jaden's with Washington, and now he supports me more watching the Commander stuff that I do on Power Hour NFL. But point being, Jaden at that Manning Passing Academy, I watched videos. I was like, you could see it. You could see it. Okay? You could see it. Now, I also think the one thing people underrate about 2023, and it ended up not being that big of a deal because, you know, Jaden is probably the best quarterback you can have to play behind a bad offensive line. But going into that season, we felt so comfortable about the LSU offensive line. Now, I didn't feel comfortable about them versus Florida State, which made a lot of people feel that I was negative about them going into that game. I just didn't like that matchup for us. But, you know, going into 2023, we freaking knew Will Campbell was going to be a freaking stud. The dude got the number 7 uniform. I knew a gazillion percent he was going to be a superstar. A gazillion percent. Which offensive lineman do you know will be half as good as Will Campbell next year? You don't. How many on this year's offensive line do you think will be better than Garrett Dellinger or Miles Frazier or Emory Jones? Obviously, Charles Turner going into his first full year as the guy that was the dude at center. So I will give you that the LSU secondary going into 2025 is better than that of the secondary going into 2023. I'll give you that. But offensive line, you can't hide it. Can't hide it at all. All right. Now, I do have a few things here. And I know a lot of you don't like talking about this now, especially in the NIL era, and because of what happened with Bryce Underwood. Hayes Fawcett just put this out there. LSU is about to shoot up the 2026 recruiting rankings. Okay. And before I get to that, Bullfrog says, I'm taking Josh Thompson over Frazier and Dellinger. I'm probably with you on that. I like Josh Thompson a lot. Now I don't know Josh that well, but you know, I've watched a decent amount of him in Northwestern. He's a good football player. He's a really good football player. I would be shocked if he is not good. And I also think he's the best LSU offensive lineman on this team. Now, who I would pick number two is a little too controversial, a little too hot of a take. So I won't share who I would put as second best offensive lineman on this team right now. But there you go. So I'm always cautious about talking about 2026 commitments. I do know of one that LSU does feel pretty good in. He has a five-star defensive end. His name is Trenton Henderson. He's a really good pass rusher who Michigan recruited really hard, Florida recruited really hard, and so on and so on and so on. But a lot of the Florida guys were saying, hey, it's looking like LSU. LSU really wants him. Once again, it falls on a lot of deaf ears on this channel, which is fine. But the kid can play. I watched him today. I'm always a little worried about ends that for about more than half of their snaps play in a two-point stance. Unless you're going to run a 3-4, putting your hand in the dirt, it is a little bit of a transition to go from that to putting your hand in the dirt every single time. But he has a lot of hand in the dirt reps. And he is very fluid. Okay. So, you know, as Emil points out, LSU is sixth per on three. I do think that they move up quite a bit over the next 48 hours. Okay. Now, once again, I do not follow this day to day. I've shared this plenty of times. I have someone that sends me what he's hearing. He's not a reporter or anything like that, but he does follow this very closely, and he's got sources and all this stuff. Longtime Louisiana guy. And it's just because I just don't care to follow the day-to-day. If you're going to commit and sign, I'll talk about you when you commit or if you're about to commit and so on. And LSU has lost out on some guys that they were in on, including the running back out of Carthage who went to Texas A&M, and then obviously Bo Bentley who went to Oklahoma. This stuff just dates poorly as well. It's kind of a tough listen, like 24 hours from now if the kid doesn't commit or whatever. But you should feel pretty good that LSU is about to start kicking some rear end. All right. But LSU was like in the top two or three, but holy crap, Georgia's been on a run. Alabama's been on a recruiting run. Alabama got a five-star linebacker today out of Georgia that obviously the Dogs really wanted, but Georgia has been crushing it. Absolutely crushing it. For 2026s. And the thing that you have to factor in is I do feel, and Josh Pate tweeted this out here a little bit earlier, and I don't know if I totally agree with this, but he said high school recruiting feels a little bit more like high school recruiting than the last couple of seasons. I don't know exactly what he means by that, but as I was thinking, I was like, you know, with revenue sharing and there being, you know, some potential toothpasting back into the tube, to use a cliche, if you will, you do feel as if things will come to some normalcy, right? Like, if you commit here, you're going to get X amount, or you're going to get X amount. I don't know. Maybe I don't know. Will commitment stick more than ever? I really don't. What I will tell you, though, is LSU, as much as we talked about the NIL and the money that they spent for the 2025 roster, if you really pay attention, Ross Dellinger did a huge piece on the billionaires that influxed some money into LSU. The Tigers did have a focus on having money ready for the 2026s. Okay. Do you not think that winning the recruiting battle in July is kind of premature? I do. Which is why I'm you know, when I got this message earlier today, in years past, I would have led with the recruiting stories, right? That LSU is about to land a five-star edge rusher out of the state of Florida. And God only knows he might be going to Florida. I don't know. But I just don't know how many more times I can deal with leading with something that will break a lot of my fans' hearts, which is why I wanted to start tonight's show. And I really wasn't going to do a whole lot of recruiting, but I was going to start tonight's show with, like, the actual football. All right. Let's see. We'll take a few more here before I get to this next topic. Brambo, welcome back. Jelani Watkins, he feels is better than Barry and Brown. You're crazy. You're absolutely crazy. Like, that is not based in reality at all. And that's nothing against Jelani Watkins, but Barry and Brown's a good football player. Barry and Brown has proven it at the SEC level. Jelani Watkins does beat him in a race, though. And then you also say all this hype about this roster should yield a victory in week three. A season opening loss at Clemson is understandable. Yeah, look, at this point, I have Clemson beating LSU in week one. I do. But I don't speak of that in terms of absolutes, right? I think I would give Clemson a 60% chance of winning in week one. I think a 40% chance of the best Dabo team since the Trevor Lawrence years on the road versus a first-round quarterback and two first-round defensive linemen. I think you take that chance every day. And then you can get into your own conversations of scheduling weaker opposition in the non-conference or not scheduling a difficult season opener. And look, Garrett did another interview with On3 saying that they're not dodging the five consecutive loss thing. They know in the building that that it's a big deal. I did an interview earlier today with Tanisha. She is a YouTuber, and she reached out to me. She's based in Austin, Texas. I don't know when it's coming out. And she said, Carter, which game on LSU's schedule do fans want to win the most? And if it meant LSU would lose two games just to win that one versus Clemson, they would probably take it. I'm serious. Like, that sounds like hyperbole, but especially considering it's a non-conference game, and no matter what happens, this game won't come nearly as close in terms of importance to the last time LSU played Clemson. But for a lot of LSU fans, it feels like the most important game. One thing I will say that's made a major difference between LSU going into Clemson many a moons ago in 2019, or technically 2020, is that I felt pretty confident that Joe Burrow was going to find a way to win that game. Whereas going into this matchup, you don't know really a damn thing about either of these rosters outside of the best players really being dudes. Okay. Let's go to Mello. Everybody, welcome Mello to the channel. Good to see it. Look at that bling bling, bro. That's a chain right there. The LSU and Clemson game are going to have a lot of NFL scouts. Yeah, you better believe it. Actually, no. I don't think they'll have as many as you would think, because it's week one. There's all kinds of sexy week one matchups. You can make a case there's going to be more at Alabama and Florida State or Texas and Ohio State. Can Clemson's QB run the RPO? Clemson's QB can do everything well. Cade is a really well-rounded quarterback. I wouldn't say, I think a good way to describe him is he is very good at everything. I wouldn't say he is exceptional at any one thing, but he is very, 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 very good in almost every aspect of quarterbacking. Deep ball accuracy, he can really float some bad boys in. Arm strength, very, very, very good. Processing, pretty good. Play extension, very good. Running, very good. Zone read game, very good. His weapons are good. Offensive line's good. Where he does have a small weakness, it was more so early in his career compared to this point in his career, is the fumbling. Now, what if I told you that my first Cade Klubnik film study has already been released? Yes, it's already released. You can check it out for yourself. It's live. So if you would rather watch him play football instead of looking at my chubby Bruno Mars face, you can check it out for yourself if you want to see some actual football film breakdown, which a lot of you are that's how a lot of you discovered me. So there you go. Let's see. Take one more because I want to show love to the viewers. We're in the dead of the off season here. How did Walker Howard look? I'm cheering for him in UL. I think you would be kind of a jerk if you weren't. Now, coming up next, something pretty profound happened last night, and I think it is worth mentioning.
Let's go!
On a journey together with Zion Imaging, I want you to see this experience up close. And me as a wedding and event DJ, I watched how everybody had so much fun with Zion Imaging. And a big reason for their success is the team. Yes, Jaron Thomas and his family started this off as a passion project, and they have one simple goal in mind: taking your event to the next level. Whether it's a wedding, reunion, quinceañera, school, or corporate event, Zion Imaging is all about family-friendly fun. And I gotta show you on this tour the high-level technology that quickly sends your video session to your phone, whether it's iPhone or Android. Yes, it's the Zion Imaging 360 Spin Booth experience serving North Texas, North Louisiana, South Arkansas, Orlando, and more. Give us a call, 318-469-4265. Check us out on Facebook or book us at Zion Imaging, xyanimaging.com. Are you a diehard LSU fan? And would you like to understand the complex game of football better? Well, sign up today for our PHL Patreon. This is his second touchdown. Counter GY, you're pulling the guard. We dive deep on recruiting and the transfer portal at a level that you have never seen before. Film breakdowns from so many different angles. And my personal favorites, oh yeah, the analytics, baby. I like to get nerdy. We take a look at cutting edge statistics that help all of us understand LSU football even better. And guess what? Every new signup gets a Joe Burrow card in the mail for free. But we gotta save the best for last. Our private Discord community of LSU fans from around the globe. Sign up today. Patreon.com/LSU football and put your name on our wall of patrons. Special thanks to everybody who's on here. Let's freaking go.
When I took over, we were 3-8. And I always tell the story that, you know, we'd just gone 10-2 at Michigan State, and I was disappointed in our administration there because of their lack of commitment to what we wanted to accomplish and what we wanted to do. So I was interested in the LSU job. So Mark Emmert, Richard Gill, Charlie Weems, Stanley Jacobs, comes and meets me in Memphis secretly to interview for this job. And they offered me the job, but I said, I can't take the job. I've never been to LSU before. I don't know what it's like. So, and I can't go for an interview because if they find out publicly at Michigan State that I'm thinking of going someplace else, they'll absolutely crucify me. So I send Miss Terry. This is the God truth. To interview. And Delaine Emmerett, Mark's wife, showed her around for 2 days. They saw billboards of who LSU wanted to hire. My name wasn't on there. But anyway, she spent 2 days. So I called and I say, well, what'd you think? And she said, man, this place needs a lot of work. She said, the stadium's in bad shape. They don't have no academic facilities. They have no academic support center. The players are not doing well academically. She said, you have to get in the bus and ride to practice every day from the campus because the facilities are separated. The coaches' offices are in a bank building and very unimpressive. I don't know how you would recruit there. But she said, I went in the weight room today. And they got some damn good looking players. So that's how I took the job. But then when I got there and I saw what she saw without seeing any players, before I went into press conference, I went in a corner and talked on the phone and I said, Terry, this is not really what I thought it might be after your interview. And she said, put your big boy pants on and get your ass in the press conference and go to work. So that's what we did.
That's how you got down here.
Crazy story. And I've heard it before. Nick shared that publicly, that Terry was the reason why Nick chose LSU. And so he's not just making that up. It's amazing, like, when you look historically, sports have oftentimes been decided by the wives, right? Obviously, a pretty big example was Marcus Freeman. You know, there was quite a few reports that he was going to LSU, picks Notre Dame, partially because his wife, devout Catholic and Midwestern, all right? You know, my favorite is it was Tim Duncan potentially going to the Orlando Magic. And the reason that that deal did not go through is because a wife wanted to fly on the team plane and Doc Rivers did not want that. I've heard all different types of this coach or this player did this because their wife wanted them to do it. So it is interesting. You know, we started the live stream, Ed Orgeron twirling his shirt off. A lot of the end of the Ed Orgeron tenure, he had to go through a divorce. All right. Ed loves his family, right? It was tough, really, really tough on him, as it would be for anyone, especially in the public eye. And obviously, as Cliff mentioned earlier, his wife is about to make some moolah because she's going to get some of the buyout, a good chunk of the buyout. It's amazing how much your life, you think your life comes down to you. It oftentimes comes down to your significant other. Now, I'm blessed to have a very strong, supportive, significant other. It's amazing how big of a deal that is and how different these two legendary national championship winning coaches, they've gone viral in two completely different ways. It's the most Ed. Wait, how did Ed Orgeron go viral? Well, he was yelling and twirling his shirt off at a wedding. How did Nick Saban go viral? Giving a motivational speech that the interviewer, and what's the interviewer's name? I keep forgetting. It's Glenn something. I've met him a few times. saying that was the best interview he's ever done. He's been doing sports media for 40 plus years. And this isn't some way to say Nick is way better than Ed. Well, by accomplishment, sure. It is funny. It is funny when you look at it like that. But Nick went into the Hall of Fame, as did Andrew Whitworth, as did many others. Glenn Gilbo. It was funny seeing Glenn Gilbo getting inducted into the same Hall of Fame as Nick Saban. That's always Gilbo is going to tell that story for the end of mankind. I would too. Now, it wasn't Steve Schneider of WAFB. It was, I don't remember his name. Let's go to Cliff. He says, why am I so high on Jack Piper? All right. So, I feel like I should address this because, you know, obviously Blake Ruffino, you know, I clipped this and it got passed around a little bit. How high Blake is on Tre'Davious Green, right? And I'm not as high on Tre'Davious Green. Like, Blake is super high. You know, he says Tre'Davious Green is the best player on this team. I do not agree with that. Okay. I do think Tre'Davious Green is going to have a very good season. I am super high on Jack Pyburn. Really, really, really high. For a few reasons. The first is, yes, he has not produced at an extremely high level at all at Florida. But what happened at Florida? Well, the first thing is he was in a very loaded defensive end room his entire tenure at Florida. Caleb Banks will be, and he's more of a tackle type, but Sapp is there. I mean, there's a lot of really good ends at Florida. And when you're in a loaded room where it's tough to get every down snaps and you kind of play one type of role, you feel limited. The second thing is Jack Pyburn's timeline as a player has not been similar to the timelines of so many other players. You know, the most underrated thing that we do not do a good enough job accounting for is your breakout in year four or year five. Jack Pyburn, unless something happens this year, will not get a year five. This is year four for him playing year four. So his first season at Florida, he just minimally played special teams where he suffered a very serious injury in a game versus Arkansas later in the year. So that was a setback. And then in year two, he was coming back from that injury, right? But he still wasn't able to redshirt, right? And then in year three, was in this heavy rotation where there was a lot of very talented players. One of those ends entered the portal himself, went to Texas A&M, and obviously Pyburn had quite a few teams that were after him, including Florida trying to re-recruit him back. Jack Pyburn's dream school was playing for Florida, so he would do anything to play for Florida. But he decides to go to LSU. His family does have Louisiana ties. And since he's been here, some of this is behind closed door stuff, and I'm always very open with that. I don't share everything that I hear, but Pyburn set a standard at LSU with leadership, holding people accountable, coming in and really lighting a fire under a lot of people in that room. The second thing that was very interesting since he's been at LSU is he dominated practices. Like, flat out dominated. Now, that could be one of two things. The first is, you know, he's not doing this versus Will Campbell and Emory Jones. He's doing this versus new offensive tackles trying to earn starters reps. And some of those guys are young, right? Jack Pyburn is a year four player. Weston Davis is a year two player. Tyree Adams is a year three player. So he was, based on what I heard, the best defensive player throughout spring. And even though this is obviously a very asterisk thing, he was by far my highest graded player in the spring game. And he was also very highly viewed by LSU's coaching staff in the spring game as well. Okay. So that's why I'm high on him. And it kind of goes back to the same thing I've said about Sadir Mitchell and, you know, another player that has kind of a similar story. I don't think Jack Pyburn is as good as this player I'm about to say, but it was an Alabama linebacker by the name of Drew Sanders. So Drew Sanders was a backup behind Will Anderson and Dallas Turner, who are obviously two of the best edge rushers ever in the SEC. And he couldn't play. You know, you're not going to play a whole lot. He goes to Arkansas for an every down role, and that was one of the best one-year rentals at linebacker ever in the SEC was Drew Sanders that year at Arkansas. It was so good the Broncos drafted him as just a one-year producer in the third round. So was Drew Sanders bad? No, he was just in a weird, loaded room. Okay? So that's why I'm higher than most on Jack Pyburn. I see him as an all-SEC player and a good edge rusher year. It's a lot harder to make all-SEC with two extra teams being in the conference, both of which are good historical programs in Oklahoma and Texas. So being all-SEC is particularly difficult, especially with Texas being in there, knowing how good Texas' defensive lines have been in the Steve Sarkisian era. So I am very much in on the Jack Pyburn hype train. Okay. Let's see. Bama is the game you want to win the most. Okay. Now, next 5 to 10 minutes, we'll answer as many as we possibly can. Important scheduling note. On Tuesday night, we will have a new guest on PHL. Played college football in the ACC. And what's very interesting is throughout my media career, he is still in the top 10 of all-time guest appearances on programs that I have hosted. So even though this is his first debut appearance, this guy has been... He was on my radio show every week when I was a student at LSU all the way up until now. So you don't want to miss that. He's a national media member, a very successful one at that. And if anyone knows how to break down Clemson in the Dabo era, it is a college football player who played at North Carolina, who played defense in North Carolina and hates Clemson. Now, I don't know if he hates Clemson, but still, you want to tune in Tuesday. You don't want to miss this. Bullfrog says Nick Saban wants to come back. Every single coach that's retired wants to come back. Or there is a piece of them that wants to come back. I don't think Nick wants to come back though. I think also his role on College Game Day becomes even bigger. Now that Corso's gone. I do think game day was the best it's been in a long time last year. I'm serious. Let's take a few more. Cliff wants to know, where is Jeremy Hill? Where is old Jay Hill? I've not talked to Jay Hill in a while. Uh on this topic, I highly recommend you go check out my buddy Shehan Jayaraja. He just did a really good piece on Texas Tech that he spent 3 months writing. He literally lived in Lubbock to write this story. And Cody Campbell is his name, I believe. He was the one that was appointed by Trump. Or not appointed, but he was rumored. I don't really know what exactly happened. But him and Nick Saban were the overseers of the new age of college football, allegedly. This is a very powerful billionaire who is the guy funding Texas Tech. And it's a long piece. I've not read it in its entirety, even though Shayan's a really good friend of mine. But I've read half of it, and it's really good. It teaches you a little bit of how, like, Texas oil and energy money works. We have a lot of viewers in Texas. I know Texas has its own energy grid, and it always gets weird when an ice is over and Ted Cruz flies to Cancun, which is ironic because I was almost on the same flight with Ted Cruz this past weekend. Let's go to Chance. I'm having LSU baseball withdrawals. I am too. And part of it, Chance, isn't so much the baseball. It's like how lovable that team was and how lovable Jay Johnson is in interviews, right? Let's go to Alexander. Angel Reese, 24-16-7 today. Here's my problem with Angel Reese playing well. And I know she doesn't give a shit. But my problem is, if you're going to make jokes about her missing layups and rebounding her own layups and it not being the most aesthetically pleasing way to play and all that stuff, if you're going to make jokes about that, you also need to praise her when she does well. I think that is very dishonest commentary. But the social media demons out there won't do it. Because that would make them look bad. There was someone who did God's work earlier and tweeted out some ridiculous Angel Reese hustle plays. And I saw it earlier, and I can't play it, obviously, for copyright reasons. But she was oftentimes in the paint, out-rebounding girls with, like, five girls around her. Remember, she's 6'3". Like, it's not like she's Brittany Griner or Lauren Jackson down there where it's like her just grabbing everything because of her height. No, she's out hustling and out athleting everybody down there. So I don't get it. If you're going to trash her, you got to show some love. Okay. Yeah, it was time for Corso to go. Let's take a few more. If the defense is just mad this year, is Blake Baker on the hot seat? No. Contract is too good. And he's too good. I really do think Blake Baker is good. But we'll see. We'll see. I just think every cycle, Blake Baker is just a very hireable guy because he crushes interviews. Go to John, a very good question. On July 1st, who do you feel has more depth on defense, Clemson or LSU? Depth is hard. Our guest on Tuesday night will do a better job of it because, you know, he's an ACC guy. Clemson has a better defensive line. Clemson has a better linebackers, but it's not by much on either. But when it comes down to depth, I think that would be probably pretty even, if you ask me, John. And once again, I don't know Clemson's 2D well enough. I will say so much focus is on Parker 11-3, essentially. I'm drawing a blank here. 11, the defensive tackle, 3, the defensive end. But But the guy you need to watch is their linebacker 47. That dude is a really, really, really good football player. I'm just drawing a blank on names right now because my mind is kind of fried with all the stuff I've been doing today. 47 could play. Overvalues Clemson's performance against Texas. Well, defensively, they were not good versus Texas. You can run on them. Here's the thing. Caden Durham is very similar to Jaden Blue in terms of their body type, skill set. Durham's a really good receiver out of the backfield. So much focus is on Garrett. I really do think Caden Durham could be the guy that beats Clemson. I really do think so. Because Clemson is going to force a non-Garrett Nussmeier person to beat them. And it's just how it is. If I know going into the game, their offensive line's a big question mark, and my defensive line is really strong, and it's going to be nighttime, crowd noise, I am going to force Garrett Nussmeier to nickel and dime, and I'm going to force LSU to run the football. All right? So it's going to be a big Caden Durham day. And if you can't block him in the run game, throws to the running backs out of the backfield can be an extension of your run game. Yeah, I got a few on my Twitter account, Bullfrog, if you want to check it out, at Power Hour LSU. So there you go. All right, that'll do it for me on a glorious Sunday. Don't forget, Tuesday night, you're going to absolutely positively love our guest. He is sensational. Okay? We'll talk to you soon. It is Power Hour LSU. Boom! Tonight! Oh, we're doing ribeyes. Let's go. Let's go.